do want to say that I appreciate the opportunity to share God's word with you this morning. Do have a little bit of a sore throat, trying to get through it, but I want to share with you a message entitled The Wonder of It All. There's a lot of things that I see in this day and time, and maybe it's old news to you, and some of them to me as well, but there are a lot of things that are going on around us that when we were younger, we didn't get a chance to see because they didn't exist. Marvel at a lot of things. Sometimes I marvel at this thing I have in my hand. If I don't turn it on or turn it off, turn it down, it'll be blasting while I'm trying to preach. I was at a funeral service one day. In fact, it was my aunt. My daddy's sister had died. And the preacher was up there just preaching away, and his phone rang. You know, you worry about things like that. And I try to make sure, I ask Carolyn to make sure that mine is either turned off or turned down. But I marvel at some of the things that we have in this day and time. We have some good things. We have some things, if used right, they can be a blessing to us. This phone, for instance, you can go on there and search for things. And I was sharing with Brother Brian this morning about seeing some things on here. He said that he hadn't seen, but later he'll check on them. But there are some wondrous and wonderful things around this old world that we encounter. And I was looking at on the internet, and I was watching a show about a home being built. And I was looking at the size of the home, and I thought, man, that is a huge house. I've never seen a house that big. So that perked my interest, and I went on the internet, and I looked at this house called the Biltmore Estate. Some of you have probably been there. It's in North Carolina. It has 178,926 square feet. You don't measure it by square feet, you measure it by acres. That's one big home, isn't it? At one time, the owner of it was the richest man on the earth. You wonder how he got that rich. You wonder about other things. You wonder about the things that we're able to do today with electronics. I know that I experienced something the other day that I hadn't experienced. I'll share it with you briefly. But you see this little thing right here? If any of you have an alarm system, you know what it is. Anybody? Amen. Y'all have an alarm system? Well, this one right here, it turns on the alarm when you leave the house. It turns on the alarm when you lay down and go to sleep at night. If anybody tries to break a window or come through the door, it sets off an alarm. Then there's a little thing on here that it cuts it off. Then there's another little red thing on here that if you push it, then the alarm folks are alerted, the police are alerted, and you get all kinds of folks coming to your house that you didn't invite. You didn't know you invited, at least. But I had this thing in my pocket, and we were eating lunch. And, you know, I wonder at this little contraption, but I got aggravated about having this little wonderful contraption too. Because it was in my pocket, I put my hand down on it in my pocket, and a little alarm went off. I didn't recognize what it was, I just knew it was an alarm. Well, I got this thing out and pushed the cutoff button. Well, a little while later, the buzzer to my door went off. I got up, went to the door. There's a policeman standing there. I said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "What?" She said, "Well, I'm here to help you. You pressed your emergency alarm." I said, "I didn't know I did it." She said, "Well, you did it because we got a call. The alarm people got a call. Your grandson got a call because he's linked into it too. This wonderful little button that I'm carrying around in my pocket can cause all kinds of problems. It can be great, and it can be a blessing, but it also can be a burden. And there are a lot of things that we experience in this day and time that can be a blessing, and that can be a burden. Now, the Word of God can be a blessing to us, or it can either be a curse to us. It depends on how receptive we are to it. If we heed it, we can be blessed. If we refuse to heed it, if we refuse to agree with it, then we will be cursed. We can't experience a curse. We know that there are many other wonders in this world that we live in. I'll share with you a few more before I get into the message. I've noted that someone can write a poem on a worthless sheet of paper and it'll become worth $6,000. That's genius. Rockefeller could sign his name to a piece of paper and make it worth $1 million. That's capital. Uncle Sam can take a piece of gold and stamp an eagle on it and become worth $20. Right now, it'd be worth a lot more than that. Amen. A mechanic can take material that's worth only $5 and he can make it worth $50 or whatever he wants to make it worth. If you don't know how to fix it and you got to depend on him, he can make that $5 part worth $100 or $500. An artist can take a 50-cent piece of canvas, paint a picture on it, and make it worth $1,000. That's art. You wonder at things like that, but that's just the way that it is. Well, I look and read God's Word, and I see what God says to me, and I wonder about it sometimes, and I try to imagine when He talks about creating everything and setting everything in its place and putting this old world in orbit around the sun. And scientists say that we're riding on a planet that's going 67,000 miles an hour through space. That's pretty quick, isn't it? And I'm scared to get on an airplane. I'm riding on an Earth that's doing 67,000 miles an hour. Before I get on a plane, I take a little pill, because I might get dizzy, kind of sick when I get on there. Might do the same thing when I get on the train. Some of you may do the same thing if you go on some of these cruises. But to think about it, God has placed us on a planet, on this earth, that's doing 67,000 miles an hour through space. Makes you want to try to find a big pill to or drink something, some better water or something to help us. But God has made it to where we don't realize it. Now, isn't that amazing? Isn't that a wonderful thing? It's amazing to me. It may not be to you. Maybe you haven't realized it, but you know it now. You'll think about it. 67,000 miles an hour through space. Traveling on this old earth. This old earth that the Lord has hung in space. That's not the only wonder that's out there. God can take a worthless, sinful life like mine and yours, if you know the truth about yourself. He can wash it in the blood of Christ. He can put His Spirit in it. And He can make it a blessing to you and to me and to this old dying earth. That's salvation. That's a miracle. Amen? God has done that, and God is willing for you to be able to share in that if you will listen to His precious word this morning. If you'll think about what you've heard in the past. As Paul looked on God's grace and the wonder of it all, he shared some of the things that the Lord had taught him with us. These unforgettable truths about the grace of God. First, we were divinely chosen by grace, the scripture says. If you look in Ephesians chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, I want to get you to stand with me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. The Word of God begins and says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." To this point in your lifetime, maybe, you haven't known exactly just how God feels about you. The scripture here this morning will tell you all that you need to know about how God feels about you. He loves you enough to watch over you day in and day out, to provide your every need. You think you're providing your needs? It's not so. God is providing them through the things around us which He, in fact, has provided already. We're just using them. God has placed them there for us. How much does He care for you this morning? We're going to find out maybe a little more in depth. But one thing I do want to point out to you here this morning, and as I reread it, and I've read it time and time again, this is how God feels about us. He sent His Son to die on a cross similar to that one. Maybe not that refined, but a similar cross with similar nails, with similar thorns. He caused His Son to be nailed to a cross, to have a crown of thorns driven into His head, to have Him beaten, to have Him mocked, to have Him spat upon, To have him slapped in the face and to have people make fun of him here on this earth for you and I. And then he went on a little further and had him nailed to a cross like that. Had him bleed his blood and have him give his life and have him go to a grave and have him put aside for 3 nights and 3 days for us, for you and I. God feels that way about us. Don't ever think or don't ever let anybody say without you saying something that God doesn't care. Because God does care. Amen? He cares for us. He loves you. And Brother Jerry in his prayers this morning said, if there's anyone here today that's lost, that does not know Christ as personal Savior, that they will before they leave this place. That's my prayer. Hopefully that was your prayer along with Brother Jerry's prayer this morning. We need to know, we need to remember, we need to tell others that God cares, that He loves them just as much as He loves us. We've experienced His love and we need to share that. Amen? I haven't even gotten to the opening prayer, and I'm preaching already. You see how bad it is when a preacher doesn't get to preach every week? I've got 4 or 5 messages spinning around in my head right now. I shared them with the Sunday school class. I went from one message to another message to another message. But I'm going to share this message with you this morning. You'll get to eat today. I'm not going to keep you as long as I would keep you if I shared all that I've got on my heart. That all that God has shared with me this week, as I've just dug and dug and dug into His precious Word. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, it is a wonder. It is a tremendously great wonder how much you love us. Oh, Lord, thank you so much for all that you do for us. We can't praise you enough. We try. We sing to your honor and your glory. Hopefully we sing that way to you. We preach. We teach. We witness. And we thank you, dear God, for all you do. I pray that more than ever from this point on, that we'll not only preach and teach and talk it, but we'll do it. We'll be obedient to your will and your word. We'll share with others more from this point forward just how good you are and just how amazing your grace is. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this, your word. Thank you for your love. I pray that you'll bless this service in a special way. I do pray that if there's anyone here that's saved, that's lost today, that needs to be saved, that they will be. That they'll hear, listen, and accept your will this morning. I pray for those, dear Father, that are Christians. Dear Lord, that have strayed. That are here today, but yet they're not here. They've got their minds on the world. They've shown up because you said to show up. But Lord, I pray that they'll rededicate their lives even today. That even I will. That if I'm going in the wrong path directions, Lord, that you'll even stir my heart and touch it more than what you have. And Lord, if there's someone here that needs to be a part of this church, Father, that needs to come and join this morning, Lord, that they'll do it, that they won't waste any more time, that the lost will be saved today, that the Christians will be serving today, and that they'll be in the place of service where you want them to be. And if this is the place, Lord, I pray they'll come. Lord, if there's one who needs to come and bow their knees before you this morning in these altars, Lord, that they won't hold back, that they'll make the commitment today that you want them to make. I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our God is wonderful. Amen. He is wonderful to us. Amen. Thank you. Brother Jerry, I agree with you. We need to speak up better, don't we? Amen. We need to sing up maybe better. Make that joyful noise. We need to listen better. You know, when we're born again, something happens. We're no longer dead in our spirits. You've heard that from year to year throughout most of your adult life. You've been born again. You've been made new. You're a new creature. You've got a new sight spiritually. Do you know that? You can see things from a spiritual point of view now. Not only that, you have new spiritual ears. That is part of being born again. That's part of being that new creature that the Word of God talks about. You got a new mind. You got a new reason for living. You got a new hope. You got a new desire. A desire to please God and a desire to please others. You've got a desire to be friends with people that you used to never want to be friends with. Why? Because you've got a new love. You've got a different love. You've got the love that comes from the Spirit of God. You've got a new heart. A spiritual heart. If you didn't know those things, you know it now. You need to know it. You need to realize it. You need to use those things. And you only able to use those things if you study the Word of God, if you listen to the will of God, if you're obedient, and you activate or allow them to be activated by the Holy Spirit that lives within you today. Scripture says, just across the page on my Bible, and you hath he quickened or made alive, spiritually alive. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And guess what? We know the Bible to be true because that's just how we used to act. That's how we used to behave. That's how we used to feel. So the verification of the Word of God is even verified in our lives, our actions, how we used to be and how we now are. We need to grow to understand that if we don't understand it now. Blessed are we through what God has given to us. His first point, we were divinely chosen by grace. We didn't decide one day, I'm going to go out and be saved. The Bible says that the Father draws us by the Spirit. As the Word of God is preached, God is in it all. We didn't do it on our own. God is in all of our salvation. Every bit of the salvation that we have is coming from God Almighty. Everything that we have has been given by God Almighty. We can't do anything about eternal things on our own. It has to be through the grace, the loving grace of God, the amazing grace of God. We were chosen in Christ. He hath chosen us, verse 4 says. We were chosen from eternity past. It's not a last minute thing. God didn't decide in a last minute hour or time, but in eternity. We don't even know what eternity's like. We're living in time at this particular point. We will one day experience eternity when we get that new body that's prepared for eternity. We talk about eternity. We don't know what it really is. we try to understand it. We were chosen from eternity past. Chosen before the foundation of the world. Chosen before we were even born. Before our parents or grandparents and great-grandparents. We were chosen for a reason. Verse 4 also says we were chosen that we should be holy without blame before Him in love. Wow. We were unclean. We were unworthy. We were undeserving. Nothing good about us. But God, knowing all these things, put a plan together eons ago in eternity. He put a plan together to help mankind before we were born. Some men believe and teach contrary to God's plan, because they refuse to accept the simplicity of it. The simple fact is that we can be saved by trusting in Christ. By only trusting in Christ. By only trusting in the work that He's done. Only through Christ can we be saved. The Scripture talks to us, teaches us about God's preparation and about what God has done and about what God will do. The Scripture teaches us that we were chosen to be His own, unto the adoption of the children of God by Jesus Christ to Himself. Verse 5. A lot of people wonder about folks that are adopted, how they get along, what they had to go through to be adopted. We've experienced it ourselves. Amen? As children of God, we have been adopted into the family of God. We are now the children of God. And He chose us through Jesus Christ. He did not choose me. Because He looked through eternity and He said, "Oh, Frank's going to be a good old boy. Or Grandy's going to be a good old guy. Let me see, Brother Pat's going to be a good old man. So I'm going to choose him." That's not the way that we were chosen. God chose all to be saved in eternity past. He chose everyone to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. He did that for all mankind. Now, it's your choice. His choice is one thing. He gives you the opportunity to make a choice. He didn't say, "I'm going to choose certain people." He said, "I want to choose all people. I want all to be saved. And I'm going to give them an opportunity. I'm going to give them my word. I'm going to teach them how to be saved. And I'm going to let them in on my plan that I established before the foundation of the world. I set it into place," the Lord says. We were chosen. We were adopted. We were chosen for His glory. Verse 6 says, "To the praise of His glory, of His grace." We are to glory in that which we've received. We are to be happy, even times of being sad. We are to thank the Lord for not only the good times, but for the bad times. Amen. Thankful that we're still here to experience the bad times. Well, that's going too far, isn't it? No, it's not. Brother Cowles kicked you, Brother Grandy. You hate that he kicked you or she kicked you, but you're glad you got the cow, right? If you didn't have that cow, you wouldn't have that milk. If you didn't have that milk, you wouldn't have them clothes maybe you got on through that milk. Might have it in some other way. But we all can look at those situations that we're in and just how good God takes care of us. He is a He is the only true and living great God. Amen. He is a God that supplies all of our needs, has adopted us through Christ. If we've trusted Christ, we have been adopted into the family of God. I am a child of God. We were chosen for His glory and we ought to glorify Him. Now, secondly, we were divinely redeemed through grace. This grace which has brought us the forgiveness of sin, all sin, past sin, present sin, future sin. Folks worry about, well, I haven't been good enough. I wonder what God's going to do with me. Well, if you're in Christ, He's going to do one thing with you. He's going to present to you a new place to live. Amen. He's going to provide you with a brand new body. He's going to share with you all the goodness and grace and all the majesty there in heaven that He has. We are united in Christ through the forgiveness of sin. We're united in Christ that He might gather us together in one, all things in Christ. Verse 10 says, He has made us all one in Christ that He might gather together. In verse 10, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him. We've been made a heritage unto God. Verse 11, which has brought us glory, and we ought to be bringing glory to His name. The third point is, we've been divinely sealed in grace. The Holy Spirit has sealed us. You are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 13 says, in whom you also trusted. If you've trusted in Christ. After that you heard the word of the truth. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You trust and you believe that Christ did actually die for your sins. And not only that, but He rose again. And He lives that we might live. Amen. We have life. We have a portion of the life that we're going to have. Our salvation will totally be complete. Completed on our day of resurrection. We get that brand new body, Brother Tony. Might have some new hair, amen. It may not be gray. I might not have the wrinkles that I have. I may not look as old as I look now. Although I'm glad I've got to be 70 years old. Might get to be 71, who knows? God knows. He's got everything under control and in His hand. This redemption that we have has already begun. We've been sealed. We're moving toward a brand new body, a new home, a new place in heaven. And we've got an earnest for that. You put down an earnest on a home, maybe even a car or something else. Put down a down payment. You put these things down in hopes of receiving that which has been promised. Because you put down a down payment or an earnest. Well, God says, here's my earnest to you. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit of God to seal your spirit. I've quoted several times. I can't get through a quote and I never will get through a quote. How do I know I'm saved? Not just because the Bible tells me so, because the Spirit Himself bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. God Himself speaks to me, not verbally, but spiritually, through His Word and through His Spirit, that I am a child of God, and He does the same thing for you. I'm nothing unique. Preachers aren't unique. We're flesh and blood. We're just like you. We study the Word. We understand the Word. Or we get to preach it sometimes or share it sometimes. We are sealed with a promise. God does not go back on His promises. Scripture says that God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He not said it, and shall He not make it true? Numbers 23 and 19. You need to write that down and remember it. When somebody says, God didn't really mean that, or God forgot that, or He may not do that, you remember that God is not a man. God is God. And God without man is still God. Man without God is nothing. You remember that too. Man without God is nothing. But God without man is still God. He does not depend on us. He does want us to depend on Him and work with Him. Scripture says that we work with God. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about this foundation that we're on, that we're living, our life that we're living, the foundation that we're on is Christ. And on Christ, we're to work the works of God, along with God leading us and guiding us in His will and work. The wonder of it all, the wonder of this message and all of this message is that God, who knows all things, who's all present, who has everything, wants to share it with somebody like me and somebody like you. Is that not amazing? Grace is amazing. God's love is amazing. We won't be able to stand very long in the presence of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee, the Bible says. This won't be something that happens. And if you read the Scriptures, you'll know it. Every knee is going to bow. We're going to drop to our knees at the awesome wonder of our Lord and God. We think that we have wonders in this world. They're just wonders that God has given to us. That's just a tiny portion of the glory that we will experience. God is better to us than we deserve. But He thought enough of us that He has given all things to us in Christ. The Holy Spirit is God's promise. He will complete His work. Listen to what the Scripture says. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Verse 14 says, remember that the earnest means a guarantee or a down payment. As the engagement ring is a promise that the marriage will be consummated, so the Holy Spirit is a promise of our salvation, and it will be completed. The sealing is for God's glory. May He receive the honor and the glory and the praise and the respect that He desires and deserves this morning. Will He do that? Will we make a decision to give Him what He wants? He's given us all things. Shouldn't we give back? The Bible says it's better to give than to receive. The natural man says, are you crazy, Brother Frank? it's better for me to give than receive. I'd rather receive. But the spiritual man says, it is better. I've experienced it. I know it to be true. Amen. Let's stand here. I hope this morning that this time you spend has been well spent. I know it is under the Word of God. I know that you have received something that's more precious than gold and silver and precious stones. What will you do with it this morning? As a lost person, as someone who has not trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you don't do it today, all you have is hope that you'll be able to do it tomorrow. Listen, tomorrow may never come. We see it. We see those tomorrows come. Tomorrow's just yesterday. It's something that we don't know that we're going to experience. You don't know that you're going to experience. You just hope so. You've got verification of the fact. If you pass by a cemetery, you know that there was a lot of folks that said, tomorrow I'm going to take care of this. When in fact, there are multiplied millions who didn't take care of it, who've unnecessarily gone to hell. A hell that was provided for the devil and his angels because of their rejection of God and God's will. In God's Word, they're going there because of they fail to accept what God has offered. You don't have to go there. You can be saved right now, today. You can confess your sin, or confess the fact that you are sin. We might be here all day or throughout eternity if you're asked to confess all your sins. But just confess to God. Just simply say to God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need to be saved. And God, I've heard from your word this morning that you want to save me. Lord God, I want you to save me. You can say that in your heart and your mind. You can say it verbally now. Even out loud if you want to. You're among friends. You don't have to be private about it. You can shout it if you want to. You can be saved today. Most folks want to do it quietly, and that's fine. That's fine. You can bow your head now. In fact, bow with me in prayer. If there's someone here today, and you want to be saved, you know that God is speaking to you. You know that by the Word of God that He wants you to be saved. In fact, His Word says God would have all men to be saved. He didn't choose certain ones. He chose all in Christ. But it's up to them to believe that and to accept the offering that He's prepared for their sins. Now, the Bible says that we're all sinners. That there's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all of our sins, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All of these things the Word of God testifies to us, to all of us. The majority of the folks here today have agreed with what God's Word says. And they've done what you need to do. They've just bowed before the Lord and said, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I want you to save me. I believe that Jesus died for me. I accept Him as my Lord and Savior. That's all you get to do this morning. You don't have to work for it, although you will work once you're saved. And for the Christian that's standing here, that's been straying, that's not as dedicated as we should have been. These altars are open. They're there for a reason. You can come and kneel before the Lord. You can be an encouragement to others that stand around you. You can give in to God's will this morning, and you can kneel and pray and say, Lord, I know I haven't been all that I should be, but Lord, I want to promise, and I want you to help me to fulfill this promise. I want to do all that's pleasing to you. I want to rededicate my life this morning. For those of you that are visiting with us this morning, it may be that the Lord is leading you to be a part or a member of this church. You come. Don't hesitate. You may not have tomorrow. That's not just a warning from Brother Frank. That's from the Word of God. Behold, now is the time for salvation. Today is the day for salvation. Heavenly Father, I do pray. If there's anyone here today that needs to make a decision along these lines, Father, I pray that you will, in a special way. I know you're doing it now. You want people to be saved. You want people to rededicate their lives. You want people to be a part of the church where you want them. You want us to be obedient. And so you're speaking to us. I know you are. Your word tells us you are. As you speak to us this morning, I pray we'll be obedient. That we'll do what you say. Now I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this song of invitation, I encourage you to come. Don't hold back. Take the opportunity to do the will of God for your life. Don't worry about folks next to you, what somebody else thinks, what somebody else might do or say. Come. Come to the Lord.